Good evening. My name is Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida. Welcome to Tuesday Topics, our first Tuesday Topics recording for the year 2007. I'd like to thank our producer, Brian Charlson, as well as those who are here with us this evening who will be a part of the program as time goes on. I'd like to thank Steve Bauer for his work as editor extraordinaire, who turns our chaos into something entirely listenable. And obviously, I'd like to thank George Byes of Talking Communities for the immensely powerful tool that he's created and made available to ACB. Without this tool, we would not be able to record Tuesday Topics as we are this evening. Tuesday Topics this evening will focus on where ACB might wish to go in 2007. What are some of the issues that surround ACB's existence at the moment? What does the environment within which ACB operates look like? What are some of the opportunities that ACB has? What are some of the things that our members can do to make ACB a more viable organization? These are some of the questions that may come up, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome as our guest the president of the American Council of the Blind. This is his first time as our featured guest on Tuesday Topics, and it's good to welcome Chris Gray to our microphones this evening. And Chris, perhaps you could start off, just in case there are a few people in the world who don't know you well, by telling us a little about who you are and what you do and whatever else you'd like to say, kind of by way of introduction.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. Happy New Year's, everybody. It's great to be on Tuesday Topics as a guest instead of a participant this time. And perhaps I should begin by just welcoming everybody on behalf of ACB, the board of directors and staff, and so forth. As far as what I do during the day, when I'm not reading ACB correspondence or whatever, I work at present for the Symantec Corporation. I'm a senior technical writer and have been with a company that was bought by Symantec, and technically with Symantec then since November of 1999. My specialty is email security, and I work as a technical writer on documentation for people who run enterprise systems in the U.S. and these days around the world. Many of you know Symantec, but may not know that you know Symantec if you have used Norton Antivirus or any of the Norton family of products. So I work as a tech writer. I live in San Francisco and am active, well, of course, in ACB, but also in local nonprofits, and I'm trying to be more active these days in some of the local politics in San Francisco and the Bay Area as well.
And this is virtually the end of your tenure as president of ACB. I know I was your predecessor in that office, and it's sort of interesting when you're in the last year or so of your presidency, but you actually will end your term, I think, in July. And are there some particular things that you'd like to accomplish in the last 6 months or so that you're in office?
Well, you can't help but think about that at this juncture. Coming toward the end of a presidency, as I'm sure you know, Paul, you look back and you think happily about the many things that have gone right, and wonder what can be done in the final 6 months to help shepherd ACB forward when I'm no longer president. The best thing, looking at the positive side, is that ACB is clearly on an incredible high right now, based on the activities regarding the currency litigation, and we probably are more well known today, right now anyway, than we've ever been as a national organization. The media has been incredibly kind to us. The American people seem to be very supportive of what we want to do in currency. And that's certainly something I'll be able to walk away and feel very, very good about. I think in the last 6 months, what I'd like to focus as much of my attention on as I can. And, of course, that's always a big issue because many people forget that the presidency of ACB is a volunteer job and you can only devote the spare time you've got to doing it. There's that work that puts money in the bank or food on the table, and the president of ACB works under an incredible constraint, having to, you know, be fully employed and then try and do right by ACB. But having said that, the things that I really want to focus on for my final 6 months first are to continue working on ACB's financial situation. It is improving at long last. I hope to work a great deal with our new chief financial officer, Lane Waters, and have been doing so, and I'm very pleased and impressed at what he's able to do so far and what I think he can do in 2007. I want to leave as many things in place as possible for the next president of ACB. We've got a few conventions scheduled. We might be able to get one more done during this first 6 months and get some of the nuts and bolts of the organization moving along and not in a crisis mode. It would be nice to work on ACB infrastructure with regard to staff. We need to increase that, to improve that, and if we're lucky, God willing, we'll have the finances to move ahead and bolster the staff in our national office as well. Those are some of the things that are most on my mind right now.
I guess the currency issue is one that we could spend a little bit of time talking about. I would gather from your response that you believe that the impact that the currency issue has had has been positive for ACB. Clearly, one of the things that it's done is to demonstrate that there is division in the blindness community and that the National Federation of the Blind has taken a position that at the very least is opposite to ours and maybe quite opposite to ours. What do you think the impact of the NFB's position with regard to currency has been, and why do you think that the currency issue constitutes such an advantage for ACB?
The first advantage that I see is the response in the national press favoring ACB's position. The New York Times editorially has endorsed us. The Washington Post editorially has endorsed us. USA Today either has or will be endorsing us, is what I understand. Even a magazine that's quite prestigious and well-known in the banking and moneyed community, Coinage magazine, is supporting ACB. And I think this is a great tribute to the foresight of the advocacy committee and the board of directors in taking on the currency litigation in the first place. Of course, we had no idea, and who could have guessed, that an accessible currency would garner as much media attention as it has, and it would even have been harder to predict how the media would come down on the issue. Would it be in favor of it? Would it be neutral? Would it be opposed? But clearly, so far, most of the media has been very much in favor of the idea of an accessible currency. As time goes on, and that idea has to be interpreted into what an accessible currency actually means, it's hard to know whether we'll continue to have such wide-ranging support. I think we probably will if ACB is careful and continues not to be overly prescriptive about timelines, deadlines, and absolute methods of accessibility. We have the great idea on our side that if virtually every other country in the world who makes currency can do something to create accessibility, surely the U.S. can do something as well. The differences of opinion expressed particularly by the NFB are interesting. I would not have expected them to take a position which appears to be largely in opposition to what ACB has done. But it may be that one of the better things that has happened for the litigation and for ACB is the position NFB has taken, because it's a position that is gaining very little traction within the media and has clearly been very poorly received by at least those who have expressed an opinion, even within the NFB. I've had a note, for example, from an individual who is a member of the NFB and participates in one of their mailing lists, and basically what I'm being told is that 90% of the traffic on NFB lists is in support of ACB's activities. So it may be that while the NFB is taking a position publicly at the moment, which appears to be opposed to ours, that could change. And I think that what won't change is that blind people in this country, whether they're aligned or not, will continue to understand that currency is a problem, to see that ACB is working positively toward creating a solution, and that's going to be very good for ACB's position within the blind community. I guess the other source of opposition that I've heard some of and that we can't push aside is talk radio. Talk radio is often somewhat conservative in nature. Conservatives tend to worry about rules and regulations, particularly those that come from the court. I think we have to be mindful of that position, and we have to say, through our members, through people who participate in talk radio, that while we're successful to date, many of the things that people fear on the conservative talk radio circuit are not necessarily ever going to come true, because no remedy has been prescribed, or no set of remedies has been prescribed. We're in a position now where we can't even get Treasury to sit down and talk about remedies, and that's part of the appeal of this case. If they won't even talk about remedies, how can they be viewed to be working with the blind community in good faith? So those are my initial thoughts, and Paul, where do you want to take it from here?
Well, I guess I wanted to ask whether the Federation has always been opposed to accessible currency. It seems to me that they haven't been quite as vehement in the past as they are now. And so I guess my question to you is, have they changed their position?
I believe they have fundamentally changed their position. The NFB leadership and membership have always had a concern, and it's a valid concern. They don't want the public to perceive blind people as being unable to manage money or unable to handle money. What the current leadership of NFB seems to have missed is that while it can be done, we all handle our money, and we all figure out ways to do it. It would be far better, and it is very possible in today's manufacturing environment, to create and use money that could afford a great deal more accessibility to blind people. In 1997, the NFB was thanked and praised in the Congressional Record for its work in promoting and working with Congress on a resolution in support of a more accessible money supply. And that Congressional Record has been circulated on some list. It's been on the leadership list in ACBL, and I believe it was even on the Friends list of ACB Radio. And in either 1994 or 95, I forget the date off the top of my head, the NFB passed a membership resolution supporting the idea of a more accessible currency. If the leadership of ACB took the position that NFB has taken with a resolution like that on the books, I think there would be huge trouble in ACB. What will happen in the NFB, I can't predict. I don't want to predict. But my point is that under different leadership, specifically under the leadership of Ken Jernigan, at least in two very notable instances, the NFB went firmly on record in support of a more widely accessible currency.
The NFB's position, though, at least at the moment, appears to be pretty consistent, or at least on the face of it appears to be pretty consistent. And that position would seem to be, don't rock the boat, don't ask society to make changes, figure out ways of dealing with things yourself, and don't create a position where blind people appear to be demanding that society make changes for them. On the face of it, first, do you think that does represent their position? And second, is that an appropriate position for blind people to take? And does it differ from ACB's?
I think that's a pretty fair representation of their position, both in currency and at least in certain other areas. It's a position, though, which has a great deal of philosophical inconsistency within it. I mean, what is the difference between an accessible piece of paper money and an accessible book? Aren't they really substantively the same thing if a means of access can be reasonably achieved? If we cannot fight as blind people for an accessible currency, how can we turn around and fight for accessibility of websites or accessibility of store products in areas where the NFB has been active in litigation? So I think that their position is relatively inconsistent at this point, and it's getting harder and harder for reasonable people to understand the differences between these various kinds of accessibility. Where I see ACB in all of this is that we have fought for years throughout your presidency and throughout mine to create greater accessibility to everything in our environment. We have said that if a traffic light turns red or turns green, a blind person has the right to have that information. If there is a danger in our path that's coming up, we have the right for some kind of warning about that danger. As the world progresses, as we have more and more technology at our fingertips, why not use that technology to allow blind people as similar of information to what's going on around us as a sighted person has? So I think that our position is consistent. It's easy to explain, to describe, and to me anyway, the paper currency issue is just one more step down that road of accessibility.
We're at the beginning of 2007, and clearly we're at a crossroads in terms of American society, in that at the recent elections there's been substantial change in the balance of power in Washington. Clearly, with the current administration, there appear to be some concerns. And so I guess my question is, if I were to ask you for a report card on kind of the state of the blindness system as it is at the beginning of 2007, what sorts of concerns or issues would you want to talk about?
There's a lot of issues, a lot of things we need to focus on, and I suppose, realistically speaking, I tend to take the view that in the next 2 years, we're going to do more in terms of positioning ourselves toward the future than we may be able to do in creating significant change. Significant change could come in 2 years if, in fact, the Democrats can retain the House and Senate, and depending on who the new president of the United States will be, whether it be a more centrist member of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. That's kind of the philosophical framework that I'm thinking about right now. Having said that, we do have a lot of issues to work on in 2007 and 2008, and it's anybody's guess where they might go. For example, we hope something may come of changes in the Rehabilitation Act, and that's something we have to watch very carefully and monitor. Clearly, the blind community as a whole is not in as good a position with regard to vocational rehabilitation services and job-seeking services today when you compare it, say, with 2002-2003. That's a problem, and we need to watch it. How much it will change, I'm not sure. I suspect change could be minimal, but we must monitor it. We've got to keep a close eye on what goes on during the 2007 congressional year. Probably an even bigger issue and a potentially difficult and divisive issue within parties and within Congress is the whole issue of the Randolph-Shepard vending services and the kinds of programs, the Javits-Wagner-O'Day programs run by NIB. I think that's probably the biggest hot spot that we have to monitor and be very careful about in 2007. Education, we could be better off in education today because of the work Congress did in 2004, 2005, of which ACB played a significant role, and Paul, you were certainly a part of that, so you're well aware of the initiatives we took and the changes that were made. And you're also a big part of, and I'm happy to announce, a forthcoming paper on rehabilitation issues that will be a key part of ACB's legislative agenda in 2007, 2008, and as long as it has to be until we can effect significant change in the climate of rehabilitation for blind and visually impaired Americans. We have white papers on Randolph-Shepard work, and we have to move forward with these, promote these in Congress, promote these with our legislators at home, and I hope that ACB members are up for that challenge, because it's something that has to be at the grassroots. We have to press it nationally, we have to press it through the office, but it has to be done from the grassroots as well. So I guess those are my initial thoughts on the area of legislation.
One of the areas of rehab that's out there is an increasing encroachment of a philosophy of rehabilitation that appears to be based on a model developed by the National Federation of the Blind and their national centers, a model that focuses on the idea that partially sighted people ought to be required to work under blindfold, the idea that there's a right way to do rehabilitation, the idea that it's appropriate to provide philosophical indoctrination in the NFB approach, even in state-run agencies. Does ACB support that sort of approach? And can you give us a sense of what we might do in terms of that?
ACB consistently has spoken out against that kind of approach. We know it to be an approach which favors the most highly functioning blind people. It often does not support people who are newly blind. It does not support people who make choices that in whatever way and for whatever reason differ from the NFB ideology. Those people get left in the dust, basically, in many, many cases. And we see this most clearly for guide dog users. If you want to be rehabilitated in an NFB center and you have made a choice in your life to use a guide dog, well, you're going to be pretty much out of luck. And the NFB model says, well, we'll send you to a center that can accommodate you, but it's never clear where people end up being accommodated in those situations. And what often happens is that their dogs get kenneled, they don't get rehabilitated, they're shunted off into a program that provides little or no true rehabilitation service. ACB cannot support that kind of rehabilitation process. We have clearly stood for many, many years. We've stood behind the concept of choice. People have the right to make choices about how they live their lives, about how they're rehabilitated. Yes, there are things that are critically important to rehabilitation. I think that there would be little argument among guide dog users that knowing how to use a cane is a good idea. They simply prefer to use dogs. It may well be that every blind person needs to have training to some extent in the use of Braille, certainly in the use of tactile ways of doing things. But we have to realize also that many older blind people may not be able to ever become really great Braille users. They can use Braille for minimal things compared to how I use it. I mean, for an older person, using Braille for phone numbers and indexing is a challenge, but doable. But they'll never use it for reading 12-volume Harry Potter books. That's okay. Rehabilitation has to be tailored to meet the needs of each individual. And yes, there are core skills that you need to have training in and to work in, but to turn those core skills into a dogma or into a one way of rehab fits all really does a disservice to the overall community of blind people.
Another area that seems to change more quickly than we can respond to is the whole area of technology, that is the area of computers. Maybe it's significant that Time magazine made internet users the man of the year in 2006. So as we begin 2007, where do we stand technologically? What are some of the challenges that we need to deal with?
I heard a message from ACB's membership this summer, fairly loud and clear, that expressed a great deal of dissatisfaction. And I tended to interpret it as a higher degree of dissatisfaction with major companies serving us technologically than I've heard in the past. I mean, there's always problems. We all have our gripes and our issues, and we expect that. It's probably true whether you're talking about Freedom Scientific or Dell Computers. I mean, nothing is ever perfect. That's what I'm trying to say. But based on the discussion surrounding a couple of pointed resolutions in the Resolutions Committee and on the floor of the 2006 convention, it's my belief, and I'll be curious to hear what others may think about this on Tuesday Topics tonight, that ACB members have reached a new level and a level of real dissatisfaction with Freedom Scientific, with Humanware, and with other major vendors of software and hardware in the blindness technology sector. We haven't seen major change for years of products or of software, and we have seen this greater desire on the part of blind people to play a role and an active role in doing something with technology and with those companies that are working in technology. To be honest, I don't quite know where this leads us. It's something I see as much as a problem, and I don't see clear solutions. And I think we are going to have to ask ACB members what they believe some solutions might be. Clearly, talking more with manufacturers has got to be done. Talking more with mainstream manufacturers has to be done. I'm very disappointed, for example, in the 2007 consumer offerings by Symantec in the antivirus internet security arena. And Symantec is not alone in providing some very problematic software that doesn't work adequately with access technology. What's coming up with Vista? I don't really think we know right now. We need to find out. We need to move forward in that area. ACB has worked very hard with companies like Google to improve accessibility. We need to do more of that. I suppose, though, our real challenge for 2007 ought to be to create a stronger advocacy role with 3 to 5 major companies who are working in the adaptive technology arena of ACB.
We're really almost to the point where we get to open this up and where the one-on-one discussion gets to end. So let me give you a last opportunity, at least in the kind of you and me segment, to talk about any other issues that you'd like to, that you think are challenges that you'd like to highlight for 2007.
Well, I guess there's only one that pops immediately into my mind, and I do want people to have a chance to ask questions, but I'm happy to announce that we're really going to move forward beginning in the next 3 weeks with the ideas I put forward to the presidents, and I'll mention here briefly regarding a revamping of ACB's databases, membership database and other databases of information. And for years we have needed to do something significant, to work with our affiliates on understanding our members, being able to be in touch with our members. And during the first 6 months of 2007, we are going to roll out a significant new mechanism coming from the database world to help us get to know our members much better, to be able to be better in touch with our members, and hopefully to expand ACB's membership during this year and in the years to come.
Chris, thanks very much for giving us your perspective on some of the challenges that face ACB. Let me open it up to others now, see what questions you might like to raise or some issues that Chris may not have discussed.
Hello, everybody. This is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. And hello, Chris. I think it sounds like a good idea to do that with ACB and broaden the scope. And I think that probably ACB Radio has done a lot to get more people involved with ACB, hopefully, and being aware of some of the issues that we face and that kind of thing. Also, I have the new version of JAWS, and I'm a little concerned about Vista and some of the things that their people are concerned about, and with also the Internet Explorer 7.0. I mean, I've heard that people shouldn't use that right away until they know more about it. But one thing I might ask is, what do you think about programs, like communities like Freedom Box and Network and things of that nature? Does that seem to be serving the blind people well? It sounds like they are.
Several things to comment on. With regard to Internet Explorer 7, I haven't made the transition yet, so if you haven't, don't feel bad. Part of the reason I haven't is because I'm just getting used to the new version of WindowEyes that I've got. It's supposed to work pretty well with 7.0, but because of a variety of security issues, we're not allowed to install IE7 at Symantec, and I just haven't been willing to face using two different versions of Internet Explorer, one at home and one at work, and going through all that. So my feeling about IE7 is there's going to be plenty of time to upgrade, and I'll do it when I have to. ACB Radio is a great thing for ACB. It continues to lead the way in providing information and gathering information, and I see ACB Radio as only expanding as time goes on. As far as Freedom Box goes, I think ideas like Freedom Box are tremendous. To a certain degree, we disabled ourselves by an insistence on only using Windows and off-the-shelf products for sighted people. We probably had to do that in order to work on getting screen readers to be good enough and have enough power to really function and help people work, in, you know, go to the workplace and be competitive in employment. On the other hand, I think we all know that it can be very frustrating using Windows to do certain things. For example, using Microsoft Access. I had to do some of that the other day, and I was thinking to myself, gee, if I could just use some nice, friendly DOS-based product again, that would be great. Freedom Box and other similar products give blind folks who are not yet medium to high-powered computer users a mechanism to communicate with each other, to begin using computers, and to start thinking about how they want to use computers. I see it as a beautiful transition between not having a computer and becoming a medium to high-powered computer user. And as Talking Communities creates communities, and ACB Radio creates communities, Freedom Box does something similar and gives a pretty good-sized group of blind folks a way to communicate with each other and to get access to information on computers they would not otherwise have. So I think that that product and similar products do have a significant place. And I'm a Freedom Box user. I don't use it very much, but I enjoy it. I have fun on there. And it's a great place to go and just, you know, hang out, play a game, or find a descriptive video or something like that.
Someone else like to raise a question with Chris? Let me put in two footnotes really fast before I open it again. One is to say that Vista is the new operating system, which I think is scheduled for release in February or March of this year from Microsoft. It will take the place of Windows XP for many. IE7 is, of course, Internet Explorer 7, and that's the program that most blind users still utilize to find their way around on the Internet. Okay, let's open it and see if someone has another issue they'd like to raise with Chris.
Hey, Chris. Brian here from Boston. I wondered if you could explain to us where we are financially. You had mentioned that early on, that you feel that we've kind of turned the corner, so to speak. How would you describe where we are today and where we would be a year from now?
We will end 2006 not having had to use any of our reserve funding. So that's a good piece of news right there. And I think that it indicates that we've stopped spending more than we're making. And so that in and of itself is good. We have a baseline. As many may know, the ACB Enterprises and Services has had some difficult times business-wise and simply has not been able to contribute funding to ACB at the level that it used to contribute funding. We seem to have hit the baseline on that and managed to curtail expenses and reorganize ACB in such a way that we're not dipping into our reserves any longer as we did have to do in certainly fiscal 2005 and other years as well. ACBES has managed to jettison a couple of stores that were costing us a great deal of money. And so that makes the bottom line of the enterprises and services look far better at the end of 2006 than it has for some time before that. And our new chief financial officer, Lane Waters, has stepped in. He has a great deal of retail in his background. He's a CPA, so he's got a good, strong background in accounting as well. And he's already implemented measures which have created some significant cost savings and which have led to some new growth in ACBES during this last quarter of 2006. So I think where we are to sum up is that at the end of 2006, we find ourselves not dipping into reserves. We're looking at a picture in ACBES, which for 2007 would appear to have a significantly higher degree of income, a very significantly lower degree of expense associated with stores that were not making money that we no longer have. and some other reductions in expenses with regard to the processing of infrastructure activities like bill payment, payroll, and things like that, which theoretically could save ACBES in the $500,000 to $1 million range, according to the projections we're seeing right now. How that all plays itself out, we'll know a lot better as the budget committee meets and we begin to go through that process. But I'm optimistic. I think that we may be able to see some real growth in ACB spending without being irresponsible in 2007. And I hope that the greater strength of ACBES, coupled with the other types of income generation that we've come to expect in ACB, could yield a significantly better year in terms of ACB income and let us really do more in terms of staffing and other activities where we've had to really watch our pennies the last couple of years.
Another question or comment for Chris?
Well, some more thoughts about accessibility. You know, I think it's a good thing that ACB is on top of the issue of accessible currency. I think that Chris has said if we can have accessibility with screen readers and with DVS that we're pushing for, I think that's good. If we can do that, we should be able to have it with accessible currency. Maybe it's redundant, but blind people couldn't use computers if it wasn't for the screen readers that make it accessible. And if NFB used that logic that we need computers, then they'd say if we have to have accessible computers, that means that we're helpless or we need something like that. Since I've used computers the last 10 years, there's so much I can do and there's a wealth of information that I haven't even scratched the surface of, I think.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Gary. I think that computers have created a huge amount of accessibility. And, you know, it's great that the screen reader vendors have done the work they have to help in creating the accessibility. I guess my concern about the screen reader vendors is that in so many cases, while I don't think that they mean to be in this position, they are in a position of making decisions that significantly impact and perhaps even alter the lives of blind people who use their technology. So, for example, if you want to take a job and that job requires you to use software that is not accessible to JAWS or Window Eyes or both packages, in effect, a screen reader manufacturer is creating a situation that creates for you the potential of unemployment. I don't know how we tackle this, but I think we do need to tackle it, and I think that screen reader manufacturers have taken far too cavalier an attitude about what they may or may not make accessible, or about what their accessibility goals may or may not be. I'm sure that JAWS has examples of this, and if I knew some, I would give them. Brian, maybe you can help me out here, because I don't want to slight one product for another. But, you know, Window Eyes, in their most current version, has created backdoor accessibility to the Outlook calendar. Basically, you're using Window Eyes to manipulate the Outlook calendar, not Outlook itself. To me, that is a huge step forward for blind people, because it makes using the Outlook calendar far more productive, far more possible. And I'm delighted to see screen reader manufacturers looking at this approach as a means of enhancing accessibility. Now, if they would just step back and make more products and more software accessible because of how they work with that software, I think we would be in far better shape than we are today.
I agree with you, Chris. I was very, very impressed with that change within the GW Micro approach toward access to mainstream software to create, like you say, a backdoor way of accessing it. I don't know that even in JAWS 8 that that there's anything quite so dramatic as that, though it's always been part of the strength of the JAWS product as well as its weakness, that rather than giving you a tool that allows you to access exactly one for one all of the aspects of a piece of software, it's more a series of scripts that allow you to do workarounds to access those products. My concern with the big companies at this point is exactly that in their name, the big companies. We have experienced over the past 10, 15 years or so a pretty dramatic change from the days when, Chris, you worked for TSI, and we've got a series of venture capitalists who own the bulk, the control, if you will, of the big companies. They thought that they were going to be able to buy up some access companies and go public with them and make their fortune in that fashion, only to have the dot-com bubble burst before they were able to go public with those products. And as a result, they're now trying to, I think, for the most part, get as much revenue out of those companies directly as they possibly can. That doesn't always work in the best interest of those who are consuming those products. I also think, quite honestly, that there's another half to this scenario, and that has to do with the responsibility of we consumers and the agencies, public agencies, who purchase these products on our behalf to assure that not only do we get the product, but we get the training and how to use them appropriately. I see each and every day in what I do for a living people who think that it should just come easy for them to be able to utilize whatever product they turn on like it's a toaster, and don't invest much in the way of time and energy into learning to use it well. Many times the hue and cry of something being inaccessible is proven wrong by an individual who learns to do it. And I think that that we have to take on some of the responsibility for that as well.
Brian, you remind me of a paper that was once written by Jim Thatcher. You probably saw it. He wrote this when he was working for IBM as an attempt to define what accessibility is. And in fact, even today, we don't have a good definition for when a product or a website or something is accessible. How hard do you have to work before you decide that this is not accessible as a product? And there's a lot of gradations in there.
We've talked about some of the national issues that are out there. Chris, would you focus some attention for us maybe on some of the things that members and affiliates ought to be looking at the state and local level?
There's no question that state and local affairs are much more important than they were, say, 10 or 15 years ago in the political spectrum. It is so important to get involved in your local advisory committees, your local rehab councils, whatever structure you may have in your state or in your city. The amount of grant money that could be available to ACB affiliates or that we could help local agencies for the blind get access to is probably hard to imagine, but we certainly see many other groups gaining access to these kinds of grant funds, and there's no reason that ACB couldn't work at the local level to get a finger into this pie as well. There's a lot of money in local communities that's come down from the government or even from states, and it could be available to us if we knew more about it and had better entrees into those areas of government that control that money. And it's local government where the control really is. At the local level, never underestimate staying in touch with your congressional delegations. You can't go to your member of Congress at the last moment and expect to get anything done. You have to establish relationships. You have to get to know people. You have to get to know their staffs. And that takes time. It takes visit after visit, conversation after conversation. And if we invest the time in having those conversations and in becoming known, our organization is more well-known nationally, but more importantly, we're more well-known locally. And many things, in fact, most things, begin at the local level. ACB itself begins at the local level with grassroots chapters and state affiliates. Just using California as an example, if you're frustrated enough about the way rehabilitation is handled in your state, go to your legislature and try and make some changes. We used to always talk about going after a commission. That's probably a good idea. But there are lots of things that can be done that may be less difficult to do than getting a commission, but that will significantly impact how services for the blind are rendered in your state. It's all done at the local level in that case. We were very lucky in California to raise the level of our Agency for the Blind, and I really think it has made significant improvements in the rehab services blind people get in California. Now, we all complain about those services too, but you know, that just goes with the territory. They are better services than they once were. Similarly, in education, advocates for blind children, whether it be the National Association of Parents, whose name I'm kind of blocking on slightly, getting it messed up here, sorry about that, or whether it just be groups of parents with blind children, can make great strides in working on IEPs, in creating better education for blind kids in the local community. And I think what ACB can do, what local affiliates can do, is meet the parents of blind kids, act as role models for blind kids, and make sure that the parents know what is possible for their blind children. I know we do a lot of that in California. We're lucky in that we have, you know, a strong parent organization here. I know our affiliate in Hawaii does a great deal of work in this area, and other affiliates are following on with that. So that's another whole area of local activity that you can get involved in. If seniors is your bag, there are so many assisted living homes and communities today. And I know in the Bay Area, we've done a great deal of membership building by reaching out to those centers and simply providing notices of meetings of local chapters. And maybe some of the people who live there can't get there, but their kids see these notices and they bring them, or they come on behalf of their parents. And this is a great way to do outreach into your local community for seniors. And make no mistake about it, there are more and more blind seniors all the time coming on the scene. And it's a great membership resource and a great support resource to strengthen our movement.
Another question for Christopher Gray, our guest on Tuesday Topics.
Brian here again. I wonder if you might speak for a moment on library services. Of all of the services that blind and visually impaired people participate in, I would imagine it's library services that gets our interest first and foremost. You don't have to be a particular age or particular economic background or region of the country in order to participate in that. What do you think that has in store for us in 2007?
I had the opportunity a little over a year ago to write a paper for a library magazine. Brian, you probably saw that article at the time about library services, and it is an interesting area. It's a area in significant change today. With the advent of audiobooks for everybody, the whole climate of the National Library Service work has changed, and people don't go first to NLS anymore in many cases. On the other hand, NLS is moving forward. They're getting into the digital talking book era. There's a pilot test going on right now where you can download literally thousands and thousands of talking books on your PC and basically get the books you want in a half hour over your PC instead of waiting for 3 or 4 days in the mail. So we see a lot of transition there and a lot of good work happening, more slowly than I wish, and yet it's happening, and we're doing pretty well in moving forward there. I think that consumers need to continue to make Congress aware of the importance, the necessity of the Talking Book program, of the Braille Book Program of the Library of Congress, and we probably need to work at it harder than we have because of the advent of the audiobook, and we'll probably see a lot of staff transition at NLS in the next 3 to 5 years. We need to be there to support new staff and new leadership at the director and assistant director level as well. So those are my thoughts on that.
Chris, I'd like to thank you very much for participating in Tuesday Topics this evening. I know that many of our folks have had an opportunity to come to terms with what some of the major issues are for ACB at the beginning of the year 2007. I appreciate your being here, and I guess I will give you a chance for perhaps one final word. Is there one final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners to Tuesday Topics?
Well, thank you, Paul, and I'll try and be a more regular guest this year than I was able to be in 2006. I guess the final thought I would leave people with is stay tuned to ACB Radio and stay involved. It's your involvement that really makes ACB do the things that it does. Thank you.
Well, I think what we've learned tonight is that there are a whole range of challenges facing people who are blind and facing the American Council of the Blind. We're taking some significant steps to impact some of those areas. And as 2007 evolves, the one thing we can be sure of is that change will happen. In July of 2007, we will in fact have a new president of ACB because Chris's term will have run out. And where we go in 2007 will probably be impacted some by who ends up getting elected to the position of president. In the meantime, there's a lot for blind people to do, whether they're members of ACB or NFB or are independent. I'd like to thank Chris Gray for his participation in our program this evening. I'd like to thank all of the folks who were here for their thoughtful questions. On behalf of all of us at Tuesday Topics, the best of the holiday season, happy 2007, and look forward to seeing you next week on Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. The first time you enter the chat room, the software will automatically download and install on your computer. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends list early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.